Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Text 30 from Canto 4, Chapter 28. Tasyam sajanayam chakra.
Tasyam sajanayam chakra.
Atmajam asitekshanam.
Atmajam asitekshanam.
Yavisa saptasutan.
Yavisa saptasutan.
Sapta dravida bho britaha. Tasyam sajanayam chakra. Atma jam asitekshanam. Yaviyasa sapta sutan. Sapta dravida bho britaha. Tasyam. Through her. Saha. The king. Janayam chakre, begat, atmajam, daughter, asita, blue or black, ikshanam, whose eyes, yaviyasaha, younger, very powerful, sapta, seven, Sutan, sons, Sapta, seven, Dravida, province of Dravida, or South India, Bho, of the land, Britaha, kings. Translation, king, Malayadvaja, fathered one daughter who had very black eyes. He also had seven sons who later became rulers of that tract of land known as Dravida. Thus there were seven kings in that land. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. King Malayadvaja was a great devotee. And after he married the daughter of King Vidarbha, he gave her one nice daughter whose eyes were black. Figuratively, this means that the daughter of King Malayadvaja was also bestowed with devotional service, for her eyes were always fixed on Krishna. A devotee has no vision in his life other than Krishna. The seven sons are the seven processes of devotional service: hearing, chanting, remembering, offering, worshipping, offering prayers, rendering transcendental service, and serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Of the nine types of devotional service, only seven were immediately given. The balance, friendship and surrendering everything, were to be developed later. In other words, devotional service is divided into two categories, namely Vidhi Marg and Raga Marg, the process of becoming friends with the Lord and sacrifice everything for Him, belongs to the category of Raga Marg, the stage of developed devotional service. For the neophyte, the important processes are those of hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam, remembering Krishna, worshipping the deity in the temple, offering prayers, and always engaging in service of the Lord and worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. Paragraph. The word yaviyasaha indicates that these processes are very powerful. After a devotee engages in the processes of Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Bandhanam, Dasyam, and is able to secure these processes, he can later become a devotee capable of rendering spontaneous devotional service, namely Sakyam and Atmanivedanam. Generally, the great acharyas who preach devotional service all over the world belong to the category of Sakyam Atmanivedanam. A neophyte devotee cannot actually become a preacher. The neophyte is advised to execute devotional service in the seven other fields, Shravanam, Kirtanam, etc. If one can successfully execute the preliminary seven items, he can in the future be situated on the platform of Sakyam Atmanivedanam. Paragraph. The specific mention of Dravidadesh refers to the five Dravidadeshas in South India. All are very strong in rendering the preliminary devotional processes, Shravanam Kirtanam. Some great acharyas like Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya also came from Dravidadesh and became great preachers. They were all situated on the platform of Sakyam Atmanivedanam. Continuing the metaphor, the title of the chapter, King Paranjana Becomes a Woman in His Next Life. So it's kind of a fast forward after he becomes a woman, daughter of King Vidarbha. Didn't even give her name. Daughter of King Vidarbhi. She becomes married to Malayadvaja and then they have children. A daughter with blackish eyes and seven sons. So right away, There's a concluding chapter where there's a review of the whole allegory from the beginning. And this, you know, that this indicates such and such and that indicates something else. And he unravels the mystery of the allegory. But here Prabhupada is doing it right away, right in the purport. So a great devotee king, Malayadvaja, with the assistance of a qualified wife, he's producing these seven children. So the first, a daughter with blackish eyes, Prabhupada discloses that blackish eyes means that she's always fixed in thought of Krishna or seeing Krishna or Krishna conscious, very Krishna conscious daughter. And the seven sons, we heard, just repeating, the first of the nine processes. The final two processes. This isn't something that Prabhupada speaks of often. In fact, I don't even recall hearing it elsewhere. So it's not like a theme that we repeat, that we hear repeated again and again. But it's here, so we'll discuss it. There's a distinction in the process of devotional service. Three, sadhana, bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. And the bhava bhakti has as its corollary, raga bhakti. And raga bhakti means spontaneous. A nice statement, because some of our younger generation devotees, they like to read these elevated literatures, and then there's this question, well, when is one ready to read such elevated literatures or entertain preparing oneself for that stage of spontaneous devotional service or raga bhakti, raga anuga bhakti. Literally, so raga anuga means followers, and their raga anuga bhakti is when one follows a perfected devotee, a ragatmika bhakta. You know, like while you're doing your regulated devotional service, you're meditating on Mother Jasoda, or one of the cowherd boys, or one of the gopis, or something like that. And Prabhupada didn't discuss, it's mentioned in Nectar Devotion, but Prabhupada didn't discuss these topics so much because we weren't qualified. But in any case, here it is, and this Sakyam Atmanivedanam, considering oneself friend of Krishna. So the intimacy of friendship going beyond just simply engaged in service. Simply engaged in service is what comes from the holy name, the awakening of that propensity for service. If you can remember the other evening, Friday evening, we discussed this message from Canto 3, Chapter 2 about the seed of devotional service. And the seed of devotional service, on the one hand, it's already there. On the other hand, it's something you receive. Prema bhakti is already in the heart. It's already there, the seed, but it's dormant. Then, same term, the seed of devotional service is received from the spiritual master and Krishna, their combined mercy. So in that second case, the seed, Prabhupada indicates, is the attraction for devotional service, wishing, hankering for, aspiring for, finding happiness in, rendering service to Krishna, and all the different varieties of expressions of service. Cooking for Krishna, cleaning for Krishna, managing for Krishna, selling books for Krishna, and doing so many different services for Krishna. For Krishna. So that attraction for serving Krishna, that's the seed that one receives. The awakening of that dormant seed is metaphorically another seed or something to that effect. Another use of the term seed. The inclination to repose one's inclinations of service upon Krishna. Offer to Krishna. Give to Krishna. So the first seven processes are focused on that, starting with hearing and chanting, and then remembering and all the others, praying, worshipping the deity form of the Lord, rendering Him service, serving the lotus feet. These are, by the way, there's a, in the, when the nine processes of devotional service are presented in the seventh canto by Prahlad, long purport where Prabhupada describes and expands on each one. Under the serving the lotus feet, Prabhupada adds or includes visiting the holy places and hearing the glories of the Lord in those holy places. Like, you know, going on pilgrimage to holy places. He includes that as padasevanam. And of course, so the padasevanam is preceded by the hearing and chanting process. Otherwise, why would one go on pilgrimage? So, what would even be the impetus to get out of your comfort zone and go somewhere and visit the holy place? Because one has heard something. So then you go and worship the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. That's not the only form of expression of that, but that's one, just like in the worship of the deity or hearing the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the lotus feet of the Lord are there. So in any case, these seven, being represented by the seven sons of Malayadvaja and Vidarvi, these are the seven processes in sadhana bhakti. And the language is very nice, succinct. Of the nine processes of devotional service, only seven were immediately given. The balance, friendship and surrendering everything, were to be developed later. In other words, devotional service is divided into two categories, Vidhi Marg and Raga Marg. After a devotee engages in the processes of these seven and is able to secure these processes, he can later become a devotee capable of rendering spontaneous devotional service. When he's able to secure these processes, one of the books that Prabhupada translated, Narada Bhakti Sutra, I believe it is, there's mention, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also comments, that when one is on the asakti platform, the bordering of ruchi and asakti, so like beyond, well beyond the nishtha stage. Nishtha, we know from the Bhagavatam, means nashtaprayeshu, abhadreshu, where the abhadras are practically nullified. Something residual, but practically nullified. So when one is on the platform of no longer having any anartas, and then goes further into the ruchi stage, or further into the asakti stage, that's like this, when we become secure in these first seven processes. So beyond the steady into the secure in these seven processes, then the spontaneous devotional service can be entertained. Now that doesn't mean that before that stage, I'll say this nicely, that you cannot think of, it's a no-no to think of dedication of body, mind, and words. So that's a misunderstanding. Or to say the same thing in different language. It's not that these nine processes, there's nine buckets, and it's things fit either in this bucket or that bucket. Or the stages of bhakti, similarly, you're in this bucket or you're in that bucket. It's not like that. It's not like that. Rather, these are for the purpose of analysis, where one can understand how one is situated or a devotee is situated. There's nine. But something that's in category two may continue way up to category seven and eight and something and so forth. It's not like bhajana kriya, devotional practices stop because you're in another bucket over here. It's not like that. They're progressive. And it's not that, conversely, it's not that anartha nirvritti can't begin until you're, well situated in devotional practices. Anartha nirvritti can begin as soon as there's association with devotees. Eradication of unwanted things. Just sit down and take prasadam with devotees. So anartha dhriti can begin. It's not, these aren't buckets. Or, you know, there's a big boundary fence between one and the next, and you have to like get a pass to go from one to the next. It's not like that. There's a continuum, and something may be prominent here and something else be prominent there, but the others may also be present where something is prominent. I hope the message is clear. And so this spontaneous devotional service, or raga marg, being characterized by friendship, sakyam, and dedication of body, mind, and words to Krishna service, atmanivedana. One can see Krishna as one's dearmost friend in any stage. He's my dearmost friend. Suhridam sarvadehinam, Bhagavad Gita. Suhrid, that says, Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram Suhridam sarvadehinam. So he is to be seen that way anyways. So rather this seeing him as friend is takes on a connotation that's very deep and profound in the raga marg stage. As a friend, we're equals. That's a different kind of friend than what's spoken of in 529 Bhagavad Gita. It's the raga marg stage where the intimacy becomes so profound that the divinity of Krishna is overwhelmed with that intimacy of friendship. And this raga marg elevates one into braja prema. We don't find in Vaikuntha, for example, who considers themselves to be the equal of Narayana? Answer, nobody. It just doesn't fit. So raga marg, that kind of love that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give, fits in braja bhakti. Raga bhakti fits in with braja bhakti. So how one views sakyam and how one views atmanivedana, they're different in the raga marg position and the vidhi marg position. It's an elevated subject. Kind of, you have to get out your binoculars or a high power telescope and see it off there in the distance somewhere. Okay, I get it. I think. And so for us, the primary attention goes with these seven. So it's just, for us, it's these seven. And, you know, in the, at least in the higher order of things. And then the last point that Prabhupada makes in the purport is about preaching. A neophyte devotee cannot actually become a preacher. Now just take that out of context and we can shake a stick at everybody. Don't go on book distribution unless you're on the Raga Marg platform. And then the qualification for Raga Marg we just discussed. Or, you know, don't go on Harinam Sankirtan unless you're on the Raga Marg platform. That's not what it means. Taken out of context, one can think, oh, I shouldn't preach because I'm not on that platform. There's like these statements, we read one of them on Friday evening, and then devotional service begins. You have to read all this and that and the other very, very elevated 325, 26, what we read, or 325, 25, and then devotional service begins. So, that devotional service in that sense of pure devotional service, unmixed with other interests and motivations and so forth, that unmixed devotional service can begin at a very mature stage. And similarly, just by how our founder Acharya engaged people, like, you know, his early disciples, he engages in preaching. You know, a classic is his speaking of Shyamasundara and Malati's little daughter Saraswati and how she's preaching just by asking people, do you know who is Krishna? And then telling them who is Krishna. That's preaching. That which she has some faith in, repeating that which she has some faith in. That's preaching. That even a child can do. Not only a Raghunuga Bhakta can do. So the position he's taking, he clarifies, is these stalwart acharyas, Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya from Dravida Desh, they were on that Ragamarg platform. And that's, you know, a very special kind of preaching, and one has that special kind of potency that one can deliver others in a way that those that are not so elevated, they're not able. So a powerful acharya can move the hearts and the minds of many, many. Okay, I'm going to end with that, see if there's discussion. Keep going. I don't remember speaking about conservation of energy.
Yeah. And then also we talked, like, by fixing the mind on the devotion, it helps us to dissolve the material mind.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find the contradiction, or is that there is a difference between this, that two, the process? I mean, dissolving the material mind.
The description, the second one, is very clear. The conservation of energy one is not so clear. The example was that of fire. And when a fire burns out, it's not that fire per se, the element fire, goes out of existence. This energy is situated in a different way. In that sense, you know, the five gross elements, the five gross elements are conserved. They may transform how they manifest themselves, but the energies aren't coming into existence and going out of existence. That's the first one. And the second one is, it's very specific. Kapila Dev explains that when one fixes one's mind on the personality of Godhead, the influence of the modes of nature subside. You can be in the midst of the modes of nature, but if the mind is fixed on the personality of Godhead, the influence of the modes of nature subside. And when the influence of the modes of nature subside, the manifestation of the modes of nature mixing with false ego subside. That's the, you know, in the manifestation of the mode of goodness mixing with false ego produces the mind, material mind. So material mind dissolves by the agency of fixing the mind of the personality divided, because that answer is given by Kapila in response to Devahuti's question, how is it possible to extricate the soul from matter? They're inextricably connected. How is it possible? And then his answer is by fixing the mind on the Supreme Lord in devotion. When that happens, the modes of nature subside. The influence of the modes of nature subside. When that happens, the material mind dissolves. So the implication of the soul in matter dissolves, although within matter.
So the follow-up question is, so there is always a chance, is there, when the mind is not fixed, like, you know.
More than a chance, it's certain. It's in some form or fashion, guna and karma are going to act. And material life goes on. While we're trying to be nice. Pious souls doing nice things. Yes?
In the preliminary stages, as you mentioned, in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, the seven passes, and also you mentioned, one can have the relation, I don't know how to express it.
One can have the relation what?
Like, as you mentioned, a friendship. Krishna is a friend also.
Well, it's a different way of thinking of Krishna as a friend. It's not, you know, the cowherd boys out in Vrindavan playing with Krishna. It's a different kind of friend. Seeing it's, you know, as a young man sitting in his workstation in the workplace, and, you know, people are going, you know, bananas about whatever they're doing. And the devotee can feel very safe and protected because Krishna is his dear friend. Very different. It's the same, but different. You know, 529, Bhagavad Gita. Okay? So, you more to this question? If you're not clear, then you won't express it clearly, and then I can't answer.
I'll hold on to
it. Yeah, get clear, then I can respond. Okay.
This is small.
Okay.
So in the nine process, it is like Shravanam, Kirtanam, it's so extremely clear, like, what type of action is that? What is? What type, like Shravanam, we know it's hearing and Smaranam. So, but except for this Archanam, Vandanam, I couldn't able to differentiate, like properly understand.
I suggest you read the 15-20 page purport from the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where they're explained in detail. And if you still have questions, then you can ask some specific question. But they're differentiated. Vandanam, offering prayers. It's the basis, the foundation for them is hearing and chanting. And based on what one has heard and is chanting, then there's some feeling. The feeling comes out in the form of a prayer. Oh my Lord, something. And that's prayer. And there are different types of prayer. But it's a matured, a somewhat matured stage of hearing and chanting. Just coming out in a particular manner of expression as in a prayer.
Archana is also kind of a
prayer. It's not just prayer. Prayer is what you do with your mind, and deity worship is the mind plus the senses. Seeing, touching, etc. Decorating. Anyone else? No? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Okay.